Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for all that you have been doing for us during this convocation week. Glory to God. Today, as we look into the Word of God, the perfect law of liberty, may the light that comes from your Word shine into our hearts, giving us revelation, knowledge, understanding in our hearts, in the name of Jesus, of the things that are freely given to us by the Lord. May the Lord bless everyone that's listening in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, as the title says, today it's going to be breaking every yoke. That's right. That's what we're doing today. I'm going to explain what a yoke is physically and then spiritually. So get ready. We got many scriptures that we are going to give. A yoke, physically speaking, it's like a wooden cross piece. You know, they fasten it over the necks of oxen or other strong animals that they use for plowing. You know, and they attach it to the plow or the cart that the animal is supposed to pull. Now, and some of you may have seen that. Sometimes it's a single animal. Sometimes it's two of them yoked together, something around their neck. And then from their neck towards their back, it's fastened to the plow or the cart that they are pulling. Now, this yoke also keeps the oxen from turning away or breaking free. You know, they can't just run off, go this way or go that way. A yoke is like a straight jacket. You know, just keep them in place, you know, and they move forward. If they are pulling a plow and they're plowing the field, they're pulling a cart and they're just going, you know. But they really can't break free. It's around their neck. And there is this burden behind their back that they have to pull. So that gives you a picture of what a yoke is. You know, so we've covered many things in these lessons, excuse me, on the yokes, burdens, and so forth, tactics of the enemy, you know. But let's look, spiritually speaking, let's look at what a yoke represents. Now, spiritually speaking, a yoke represents several things. And I'm going to be giving you each of those categories. I'm going to be giving you the scriptures for them. Number one, the yoke, spiritually speaking, represents slavery and servitude. You know, mostly servitude and, you know, just in bondage like that. They keep them in one place, keep the oxen, you know. And the yoke, how does it represent servitude? Well, I'm just going to give you a few scriptures, you know, that talk about that. You know, let's look at Jeremiah 27, you know, and verse 6. Now, in the olden days, with God dealing with the children of Israel, sometimes God will even allow them to go into captivity, you know, for whatever reason. And he even told them, look, you know, sometimes he would tell them, you know, that he has given them into the hands of their enemies and that they would need to serve such and such person. Now, in the book of Jeremiah 27 and verse 8, it says, "And it shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which shall not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with the sword, with the famine, the pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand." Now, so you can see how this verse ties servitude with the yoke. you know, any nation and kingdom which will not serve that servitude, the same Nebuchadnezzar, and will not put their neck under the yoke, you know. So now this scripture clearly tells us that a yoke is to force people into servitude. Now, you know, so that's a yoke right there. It forces people into servitude. Let's look at Jeremiah 28 and verse 14. Again, I'm just going through these scriptures to first I'll do a Bible study portion, which is what I'm doing now, and then a prayer portion at the end. But in this study, we want you to see these elements because this is so important. You know, Jeremiah 28 and verse 14. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. And I've given him also the beasts of the field. See? So again, yoke here is tied to, you know, bondage of servitude and slavery. I mean, actually, all these people, you know, they became slaves, you know, even Daniel, you know, and his companions, you know, they were recipients of that. They were taken into slavery under Nebuchadnezzar, you know. So the Lord even tells us that I put a yoke on their necks so that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar. So again, you know, we're talking about, you know, what yokes represent spiritually speaking. And the first category is, you know, servitude and slavery. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 1, Paul is saying that, look, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of honor. So again, this scripture is tying yoke to servitude. Servants that are under the yoke, even though they are just a regular servant, you know, they may not be slaves. You know, in the case of Nebuchadnezzar, they became slaves. He carried them away into Babylon as slaves. Well, in this case that Paul's talking about, they may not be slaves. They're servants. But there is a yoke under their neck anyway, just for being a servant. So the first category of spiritual yokes that I'm talking about is slavery, as in the case of Nebuchadnezzar, or even servants, as in this 1 Timothy 6 chapter 1. You know, as many servants that are under the yoke. So there you have it, that the yoke here represents slavery and servitude. Well, on the other hand, you know, the Bible tells us that God doesn't want us to be under such conditions, you know. And so that's where we are going in today's lesson. You know, so we are actually, the Bible says that we are bought with a price and we should not be the servant of men, you know. So, but sometimes we are servants for whatever reason and, you know, but when that servitude turns to a yoke, then that yoke needs to be broken. So that's the lesson that we are covering today. Glory to God. So that's the first category. And we're going to go to other more categories that have to do with this yoke. And we want to break all of these yokes today, you know. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 And verse 23 says, ye are bought with a price. You know, God actually owns you, and he doesn't want us to be the servants of men. You know, now, how many people can actually be free from that? It's not easy. You know, sometimes you are on the job. I mean, you have a boss and this and that, you know, but when that thing turns into servitude, you know, then it's time for you to look for your liberty. You know, Paul was writing in this same 1 Corinthians 7. You know, says a lot of things that, look, let every man wherein he's called therein abide. Now, are thou called being a servant? He says, you know, care not for it. But if thou canst be made free, then take it rather, because God doesn't want us to be under servitude except to the Lord. Now, you know, we're talking about the bad aspect and the use of this servant. When it comes to the Lord, it's the same thing, you know, and, but it's in a good way. You know, we are servants to the Lord, and we are enslaved to him by his love. People don't like that, but that's the way it is. You know, so, you know, in the case of the Lord, though, he wants us be joined to him. You know, Jesus said, look, my own yoke is easy, and my burden is light. But there is a yoke. If there is no yoke, Jesus wouldn't say, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, Matthew 11, 28 to 30. You know, the Lord himself has a yoke, but his own yoke, you are yoked together to the Lord and seek not to depart from him, you know. But, you know, his own kind of yoke is different. And we'll talk about that, you know, in a little bit. You know, so, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 21 says, art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou can be made free, then use it rather. Now, there is a kind of yoke which the Lord actually puts on us, but it's a good yoke. We'll talk about that in a bit, you know. So the scripture refers to that. And you may know that in many ways, God wants us, you know, to be joined to the Lord. It's kind of like being joined at the hip. You know, God used to tell the children of Israel, say, look, I'm married to you, and why would you seek to divorce me? I mean, what evil have I done you? And so on. You know, he always challenged them to stay with the Lord. You know, so in the book of Philippians chapter 4, you know, and verse 3, Paul is writing here, and even calling one of his co-ministers a true yoke fellow. So Paul actually acknowledges that they are yoked to the Lord. You know, so let's read that quickly in Philippians chapter 4. You know, in this chapter, you know, he begins to greet many of them. You know, I beseech Yodas and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. These were people who were at loggerhead, always not seeing eye to eye. So Paul is telling them, look, be in the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement and with other my fellow laborers. So a laborer for the Lord is a yoke fellow. So we are also yoked to the Lord. But his yoke is easy and his burden is light. But don't think that, you know, there is no yoke when we are in the Lord. You know, that's why people who don't know, understand that, they just think they can do anything. You know, say, well, it's my life, I can do anything. No, it's not your life. You are bought with a price. He owns you now. Praise God. You know, he owns every one of us now. We can't do what we like. We now do what he says. He says, and we do. And the only way to get out of the other yoke of the devil is to put your neck under the Lord's yoke. And once you do that, then you're actually free, because no man can serve two masters. You can't serve two masters. You can serve the devil or you serve the Lord. You know, now, if you put your neck under the yoke of the devil, then you're serving him. You can also put your neck willingly under the yoke of the Lord, which is easy and light. And then you find out that, yeah, you are now his, you know, his property, so to speak. You know, so that's an aspect which people don't often talk about, but it is the word of God. Absolutely so. So let's go back and look at the other categories of yokes. We've talked about servitude and slavery. Let me, before I leave that subject, you know, many times people who are in the ministry and so forth, they are referred to as a servant of the Lord. But what does that really mean? Well, it's the same kind of thing. We are in servitude to the Lord. But that's something that we choose. It's not like the other, you know. I mean, Jesus, he was talking to the disciples in John, you know, chapter 6. He was talking about, you know, setting them free and all of that. And they said, well, I mean, not the disciples, the Jews in general. And they said, well, you know, we've never been in bondage. You know, why are you saying that we should be free? So let's pick it up in John chapter 8. This discussion started from John 6 and many things. And then he had some other discussions with them in John chapter 8. You know, let's pick this one up, you know, in John chapter 8, verse 34. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Jesus said, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. That's right. If you commit sin, you are the servant of sin. Because he told them, you know, that if the Son of Man will set you free, you will be free indeed. And he said, well, we've never been in bondage, so don't tell us that we need to be free. And Jesus said, well, you've been in bondage, all right. Because if you commit sin, then you are a servant of sin. And being a servant means you are in bondage. Hallelujah. So that's what Jesus was telling them. And he also said that when you know the truth shall make you free. That's the one that they responded to and say, we don't need to be made free. We're already free. You know, and Jesus said, no, you're not free by any long shot, because you are the servant of sin. So that makes you to be in bondage. But if the Son shall set you free, then you will be free indeed. Now, whosoever, that verse, John chapter 8, 36, is so powerful. And if you can get it, my goodness, you know, then you got it. You know, so whosoever, that's right, the Son shall make free, shall be free indeed. Now, Paul wrote about this same concept of, you know, servants to whomsoever you obey. In the book of Romans chapter 6, verse 16, he said, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. So, and if you put your neck willingly under sin, then you are the servant of sin. And there's a yoke that comes there. And people are bound in sin. They can't set themselves loose. You know, it's like a vicious thing that's upon them. You know, sometimes it's a little thing, but then it gets worse and worse and worse. You know, because that's, you know, that's the yoke of sin. There's a yoke of sin. And I'll get to that in a minute. Now, so we've covered slavery and servitude. Let's look at oppression. Yoke also represents oppression. You'll find that in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 4. And in previous lessons in this series, we read some of these scriptures, but they are all intertwined. But I'm giving them all to you together today as a kind of a Bible study to complete the series. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 4, the Lord will also bring something out here that you can see how, you know, the yoke is tied to oppression. That's right. Here's what the Lord said. You know, said the Lord has broken the yoke of his burden, and he has taken the shaft off your shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. So the yoke is oppression, the yoke of his burden. Yokes and burdens, they are tied together. Yoke on the neck, burden on your back, a burden that you have to drag, just like the oxen. You can't get free. And you can't be free because they put the, you know, just like the oxen, they put the yoke. They can't turn this way or that way. They have to just go this way, you know. And so that's the same thing, spiritually speaking. Same thing with spiritual yokes. Now, let's talk about sin and darkness. That's right. The yoke is also a symbol of sin and darkness. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, we see the illustration of that right here. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? So when you are in the light, don't be yoked with darkness. You know, so communion and, you know, fellowship with, I mean, you know, unbelievers is actually being yoked with darkness. So we see that yoke, spiritual yoke, can be a symbol of sin and darkness. Now, God has called us into light. Hallelujah. And we should be in the light. Jesus said it himself, you know, in John chapter 8, he was inviting the people to follow him and to walk after him in light. And he said to them in verse 12, he says, look, I am the light of the world. John chapter 8 and verse 12. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, shall have the light of life. So that's the invitation that the Lord gave. Now, if you do not follow the Lord, you follow the ways of the world, then you end up in darkness. And Jesus said, you know, Paul is writing here and saying, look, don't get entangled with that. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. People use that for marriage. This is not a lesson about marriage at all. Just talking in general. If you're unequally yoked together, you may be even yoked together with unbelievers in your business. You know, it might be an unequal yoke, but they are going to try to lead you to do the wrong things. It's not just marriage. You know, you're going to be, I remember this funny story when I was a young man many years ago. I was in college, and in between the college years, you have this long summer vacation. So I took a summer job, and the job was with the Ministry of Housing or something, I forget. And so there was an event coming to Nigeria at the time. It was going to be the African Festival of Arts. They call it eventually FESTAC. And many African nations and so forth, West African nations, were coming into Nigeria to celebrate that. And so, you know, they were looking for you know, hotels and places, you know, that they could, you know, because the government didn't have enough places on their own to house all these people coming in from outside the country. So I had a job then, you know, myself and somebody else assigned us, gave us a driver. We go around town. We talk to all hotels or any facilities that wanted to be interested to, you know, put themselves as a hosting place for these people. And everybody wanted it. Everybody, because look, it was good money. The government was paying. So as we went around, you know, of course, I was a believer, you know, and I wasn't going to, you know, do things the wrong way. The other guy that I was yoked with in that, you know, errand or job, you know, which wasn't my choice. They put us together, but I was yoked with him. We had to go together. The driver would come pick me up. We'd go pick him up, you know, and I was actually feeling like a big man then because, hey, I was a young man. I was probably around, I don't know, 21, 22 or whatever. Sit in the back of the car, air-conditioned car, feel like a big man. And this guy would drive us around to places. And we had a badge, you know, with the government thing. And it was a government car. Had the government logo all over it. So, I mean, everybody, when we came in, my goodness, everybody, you know, wanted to please us so that they could be chosen. Because they were going to get a lot of money. And as we went, you know, this is being yoked with an unbeliever in your business, you know, not just marriage. Well, as we went, we got to these places. They would offer us all kinds of bribes so that we could certify them as qualified. And I wouldn't take that bribe. This other young man that was with me in that job, you know, he was furious. Was always wanting to take the bribe. We even went to places where they even offered us women. That's the truth. Some of these hotels. Yeah, they said, look, anything you want, we'll give you money, we'll give you women, we'll give you this, we'll give you that. And I said, no. You know, we are here to do a job. The other guy, he wanted it. And he was furious. You know, he was trying to get rid of me on that job that they should assign him to somebody else. See, that's how bad being yoked with somebody that is in darkness can be. Of course, I never gave in to any of that. I would write the report, you know, the way it was, disqualify many of those hotels because their places were not clean and so forth. But, you know, you can just see the effect of being yoked. If you're yoked together with somebody who, you know, is in darkness, they may try to make you do dark things. So, you know, just to let you know that that is not just about marriage. All right. Now, let's continue with this lesson on yokes and different things. Jesus, I already told you about John 8:34, and also told you about Romans 6:16. You know, there's other places where, you know, Jesus was also talking about. You know, in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, you know, Jesus was talking about many things. And this one is critical for us to take heed to. In fact, I was praying about this yesterday for myself, because when I was preparing this lesson, I came across this scripture. It's not that I didn't know it. I mean, I knew it. But it had a different impact on me yesterday because it was part of this lesson. And this scripture is taken from, you know, Matthew chapter 6. And let's look at verses 22 and 23. And in this place, you know, this Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about so many things. But here is an important one he talks about. He says, the light of the body is the eye. Take note. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, then your whole body is full of light. And this is a deep revelation, folks. But if thine eye be evil, then thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Not just your eye, but your whole body, depending on what your eye sees. And this is some powerful stuff. You know, if therefore the light that is in thee is darkness, then how great shall that darkness be? You know, so I was in prayer last night and I said, Lord, I don't want the portal or gateway to my life or my body, which is my eyes, to cause my body, you know, evil or darkness or bring darkness in me. So, you know, I mean, I have got to make sure that I see no evil. That's right. And think no evil. And it is important for us to know that many yokes are brought upon people by what they see and what they hear. You know, temptation comes from what people see many times. You know, so that's why refrain your eyes from seeing evil. Refrain your ears also from seeing or hearing evil. Because it can bring a snare. You know, it can bring, you know, all kinds of darkness into the body. And if your eye is dark, then Jesus said your whole body will be dark. You know. So, think about that for a minute. I have made a covenant with my eyes. Job chapter 31 and verse 1. And this is for men. I've made a covenant with my eyes. How then should I, you know, gaze with desire at a woman? So, the eyes can be very, very, tricky and go bring darkness into the body. And if your eye brings you darkness, it could be with women also. When we lost after anything, the Bible says, look, if any man is tempted in James, don't say that God, you know, did anything to you. You were drawn away of your own lust. You know, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You know, when you're drawn away of your own lust, then the next thing you know, lust, when it is conceived, becomes sin. And sin, when it is finished, becomes death. You know, so the warning here is, look, keep your eyes pure. See no evil and think no evil. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So, you know, this is very important. Very, very important lesson for us to consider. Do not allow yokes to come upon you through the gateway to your body. Jesus called that gateway your eyes. You know, let your eyes see no evil. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's a powerful lesson and a powerful prayer that we will be praying today. Hallelujah. And as you think about it, as you think about this, remember that what we're talking about is yokes. Yokes is what we're talking about. Yokes, these yokes come in many different ways. Now, we've covered the yokes of slavery, and we've covered yokes of bondage and sin and so forth. And now we're going to cover some more important things as well. Before I leave that subject, Psalm 101 verse 3 also talks about, you know, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. That's right. Set no wicked thing before your eyes, because the eyes, again, are gateways that can bring us into bondage before you know it. You know, so be careful now what you see. Now, let's talk about bondage. And this is where I'm going to dwell on a lot today. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, here's what Paul said. Look, in this series that we are doing this week, the goal, by the grace of God, is that we will be set free. And if we are set free, then stand therefore fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So we see that yokes are also associated here with bondage. Now, in this particular place, we see that Paul was talking about, you know, circumcision or no circumcision. Because, you know, the Jews were putting a heavy yoke upon the Gentiles at the time, that they had to be circumcised. God never gave the law of circumcision to Gentiles. Never did. He gave it to Abraham. And so one time, Paul actually had to confront Peter. Because Peter, before the Jews came, you know, he was hanging out with the Gentiles and everything. And then when the Jews came, you know, he separated himself. Because he didn't want, you know, the people to say, well, you know, why are you doing that? So Paul challenged him and said, Peter, if thou being a Jew does not live after the manner of the Jews, but you live like the Gentiles, why are you then now trying to make the Gentiles live like the Jews? You know, so that was a bondage, you know, and Jesus said, look, you guys laden people with all kinds of bondages that you yourself will not even touch. You compass land and sea. You can read Matthew 23. Compass land and sea to make one proselyte. I mean, you put burdens that are too heavy upon them. I mean, we're talking about religious circles now. I've even gone away from Pharaoh. I'm talking about religious circles. Things that they put upon you that are not even in the word of God. You know, there are some churches I've heard that levy people what they must pay. You know, some of them even look at, you know, I've heard churches that say, hey, you got to bring your paycheck so that they can, you know, check to see if you're actually paying, you know, correctly your tithe. I mean, how in the world, where did they get that from? Your paycheck is your personal business. Nobody has a business asking for your paycheck. Not even your pastor or any leadership. No. It's none of their concern. It's between you and yourself and your employer. It's a privacy issue. You know, but I've heard that some churches do that. When people pay their tithe, they say, well, let's see your pay slip to see if you actually paid your correct tithe. And they put all kinds of burdens, all kinds of things upon people. You know, and this thing, you know, it's the greed of their hearts, because these things are not commanded in the scriptures. There is no, ladies and gentlemen, hear me today. There is no commandment, you know, for you to do any of that. As a matter of fact, let me just drop this right here. The law of tithing, which you will find the first mention in Genesis chapter 14, when Abraham met Melchizedek, and Melchizedek blessed him, and Abraham gave him tithes of all. That's where tithing started. And the law of first mention, the time that something is first mentioned in the Bible, tells us a lot about that thing. There was no commandment to Abraham to give that tithe to Melchizedek. He did by revelation. That's right. So I say to you today The tithing is by revelation, not by commandment, not in this place, space where we are. You can see all the writings of Paul. He wrote many commandments to the churches and so on. You see all the writings of Peter and all of these people. There's not a single place where they wrote commandments about tithes. They wrote commandments about, you know, giving and offerings and different things, you know, but that one, they didn't write anything about. And also, it is not a commandment. It's by revelation. However, that being said, if you are so tight-fisted that you think giving, you know, a portion of your money to the Lord, and not just your money, actually, it's everything. The first fruits of your increase is what the Bible says. And if you think, you know, some people think that, well, just because we say these things, well, you shouldn't give anything at all. Well, you don't know even what you are talking about. God could have asked for 90%. You know, Isaac tithed, Jacob tithed in that land. You know, Abraham did it and so forth. And these were all before the commandment was given, long before Moses. So, tithing was by revelation in the day. You know, it was not a commandment. But today, people make it a commandment and say, well, you got to do this. These are heavy burdens. These are yokes that people have put on your head. Now, if you don't know how to give, you know, willingly, then you put a yoke on your own head too. You know, if you are a giver, 10% will be nothing. I can say by the grace of God, I give a whole lot more than 10%. I don't tithe. I mean, I don't pay tithes. I give. There's a difference between paying tithes and giving tithes. You know, and I covered that when I did my lesson of in the book of Hebrews. You know, I don't have time to do all of that today. But I tell you what, you know, when Abraham met Melchizedek and he gave tithes, it wasn't a commandment, you know. So, and Levi was later commanded to give tithes. And then, I mean, everything about Levi and the people doing tithes and so on and so forth, you know, and you can see that the word levy today actually comes from Levi. You know, people levy all kinds of things to people today, you know, but in the book of Hebrews chapter 7, let me just quickly read one or two verses, because I'm talking about bondages and yokes that people put, you know. It says in Hebrews chapter 7, I'm just going to read a couple of quick verses there, you know. So, he says, we're talking about Melchizedek, to whom Abraham gave a tenth part of all. That's Hebrews chapter 7, verse 2, talking about Genesis chapter 14. Now, and it went on to talk about, you know, tithing in short. He said in verse 9, here men that die receive tithes, but he over there, Melchizedek, of whom the witness that he liveth, he received tithes. As I may so say, verse 10. Take note. You know, he says that Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. You know, so the Levi, the Levitic, you know, the Levitical contract was one of laws and commandments. And tithing was part of it. So they had to pay. Paying tithes is different from giving tithes. You know, so look at the difference between Hebrews chapter 7 verse 4 and Hebrews chapter 7 verse 10. And that would give you the revelation. In the case of Hebrews, in the case of Abraham, we're told in Hebrews chapter 7 verse 4 that Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek. He didn't pay anything. It wasn't demanded of him. He gave. Now, under the Levitical priesthood and commandments, they pay. You know, so You can choose to pay tithes or put a burden on your neck that you should pay certain tithes, or you can give by revelation. And it is better to give than to receive. Those who give by revelation, they're actually more blessed. And I tell you what, those who give, they give more than tithing. Because you can give offerings, you can give all kinds of things. Tithing is just a minimum. And if you struggle with even that minimum, then you're already in a yoke. You know, so deliver yourself today and take away those yokes. Give freely, because God loves a cheerful giver. But don't let anybody put a yoke on your neck as to what amount you must tithe. As a matter of fact, you know, the Lord made it so, even for the children of Israel, that it was a percentage rather than an amount, you know, so that it will kind of be, you know, on equal footing. You know, you give, you know, they were asked to pay tithes to Levi themselves had to pay tithes somewhere, and so on and so forth. It was a lot of things, but it wasn't just money back then. I don't have time to go into all of the subject of tithing. Maybe one day I will. But sufficient to know that what I'm saying here is there's all kinds of yokes that even the religious system put on people today. Another yoke that religious system try to put on people today is they try to own the people. That's a yoke. Try to own you so that you can't, it's like a yoke. You can't go here, you can't turn left or right. You know, when you come in, you must sign on the dotted line. I mean, you got to do this, and you know, you got to do this other thing, you got to do that other thing, and you can't go anywhere else. You got to only go to fellowship here. That's a yoke that people try to put on the necks of the people. You know, we only belong to Christ, and nobody owns anybody else. But some of these religious systems, they behave as if they own the people. Many times, you know, so that's a yoke. You need to deliver yourself from those yokes. Now, there are many other yokes that the devil will put: sickness and disease. We've covered that when we talked about oppressing spirits. Put sickness upon the people, put burdens, heavy burdens, you know, so that they won't have time. All these things are yokes. And the devil has been doing this thing for thousands of years. Hundreds and literally thousands. So now he is very skilled. He knows various yokes that he can put on people and so on and so forth. Well, our responsibility is to make sure that these yokes are not upon us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I was on this very room some months ago, and somebody came in here and asked a question. They belong to another organization on this very club, on this clubhouse, that was trying to put a yoke on them, you know, and trying to make them to restrain them or restrict them from where they could go and what they could do. I'm like, shh, what's that about? This is clubhouse. It's clubhouse. It's not even anything. It's not even a local church. This is clubhouse. What are people getting into? You know, I knew an organization even on this clubhouse. You know, one time they heard somebody preaching something that was inappropriate, they thought. Not in their own platform. The person was preaching it on their own, on another platform. And they wanted to go challenge those people because their people went over there, some of their people, and they wanted to go challenge that person and bring the person in. You know, to quote unquote, like, you know, sit down under some, you know, review. And I'm like, no, this is clubhouse. You can do anything you want. Nobody has any jurisdiction over anybody. Those are yokes. You know, all you can do is teach the word to your people and make sure that they know how to discern between good and evil. You can't force anybody to go anywhere. You can't force the other guy on his platform, you know, to do anything you want them to do. You know, this, but some people are so used to all these yokes and they think that they have the right to do everything. Put yokes on people. You can't do this. You can't do that. You know, many years ago, I went to the Philippines to do a crusade, and for 2 weeks, and the hosting pastor there says to me that, well, I'd like to start a church under your GMI church, because that was, you know, I went GMI church. And I said, no. And he said, well, and he began to tell me the yokes that they have put upon him in his organization that he belonged to. The man loved to preach the gospel. They put a yoke on him that he can't preach the gospel. He can only preach their own creed and doctrine. I mean, they had certain things. You can't just go out and preach the gospel. You've got to go out and say these things. You know, and I was like, what? Yeah. And then I saw that the guy actually needed help. And I said, well, you know, that's a yoke. You need to deliver yourself from it. Now, many ministers today, they have so many yokes. They know the right thing, but they can't get out because they've been yoked. You know, and there's, unfortunately, some people too are like that. You know, yesterday we told somebody in this room that, look, don't let anybody put any yoke on your head, and you don't need, you know, you're not under them. You're free. The Lord is the only one that you should go to, you know, but yokes come in different, you can see from these things, yokes come in different way. I went to some place some time ago, you know, it was Bahamas, Sister Maggie and Brother Roland were there. And we had Brother Roland was there. I don't think Sister Maggie was there at the time. But anyway, we had a conference with many pastors that came. You know, so, you know, one day I looked around and I saw that these pastors, many of them were yoked. So I preached to them a liberating message about the power of the Holy Spirit. And some of them were Baptist and different things like that. So one of them came and told me, I also, you know, he said, look, I know what you're saying is true, but, you know, our organization would not allow us to preach those things. And I said, well, that's a yoke. You are in a yoke. You are bonded. I mean, you're in bondage and so forth. Why would you know the truth and say somebody is not going to allow you to do it? And that's a yoke. You know, I said, look, you need to free yourself from these things. You know, also there are some people who are yoked under the greed of money. You know, they can't preach the truth on their platforms because they are afraid that people will leave and then their offerings will be less, you know. And, you know, because they are hired by some organization. You know, well, I'm a pastor also, but nobody hired me. I can preach whatever the Lord tells me to preach. And I'm not going to not preach something because of somebody that's going to go away. Let them go away if they go away. I don't care about that because I don't need their money anyway. See, but it's a yoke also when people are bound by money. I'm talking even to preachers. And they put that same yoke on the people. They are driven by their greed. And they turn around, put the yoke, the same yoke on the people. And they tell you, you got to bring this money. You want this healing and you want this, that. All those things are yokes. You guys need to deliver yourself from all of that. We've already covered the yokes of the devil in the last 3 days. I'm covering the religious yokes now. There are many religious yokes. You know, one example, what I gave it to you 2 days ago. They brought Jesus, a woman that was caught in the middle of adultery. For the people, back in the religious leaders in those days, they had to kill that woman. Well, similar things are happening today. You know, when, you know, struggling believers, they are struggling, you know, fall into sin or error. The religious systems will crucify them many times over today. That's a yoke, you know. Now, we're not encouraging that people, you know, should, you know, wander in sin and so forth. We already talked about that, you know, but Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You're yoked to these systems. You know, come out of her, my people, you know, and be not partakers of their destruction when it comes. You know, for as a mighty destruction shall it come from the Almighty. It's coming, the destruction of these systems. Revelation chapter 18 and verse 4 will tell you, come out of all these systems. Come out of them. Come out of these yokes. You know, you can't be unequally yoked with these things that don't please the Lord. You know, a couple of weeks ago or so, or several days ago, we covered, you know, the how to know the will of God in doing the active will and passive will. Active will is following commandments. Passive will is knowing to not do things that displease the Lord or doing only things that are pleasing. I'm telling you some of these things today that you need to dissociate yourself from and so forth. Now, I'm not trying to start a mutiny or anything here, but Jesus never came to start a religion. He never came to form any organization. You know, he said, I will build my church. That's right. And the Church of Christ is not just one local assembly somewhere. You know, that's why we are here doing these rooms, because we know that the Church of God is global. It's not just my local assembly here in Phoenix. You know, there's a lot of people, even in our own congregation, that think that, you know, that's what it's all about, just to come to church there. You know, but that's far from it. The body of Christ is global. You know, and so these things that I say to one, I say to all. Now, how are we going to deliver ourselves from these yokes? Well, Isaiah 52 and verse 2, my favorite verse when it comes to this subject, you know, is snap out of it yourself. But let me give you a few scriptures on deliverance. Well, because sometimes some people can't deliver themselves and they need help. So in the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, it talks about where you can get help. You can get help from the anointed ministers. You know, they may be able to help you, but you can help yourself better if you really know how to do it. But the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. You know, Jesus quoted that scripture himself. Well, you know, by the grace of God, some people have anointing to help set people free, especially when the carpenter's anointing is upon them. You know, and the things they can do are some of these things, but it's actually the Spirit of God in them that's doing it. And the reason that God does it is so that God may get the glory at the end. To appoint, he said, to them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Isaiah 61 and 3. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, so that the Lord might be glorified. You know, and they shall build the old waste places, raise up former desolations, and so forth. Repair the waste cities. Well, it's anointing to do all of that. And you shall be named the priests of the Lord. You shall stand, feed your flocks, and so on. I mean, look. There's anointing sometimes with the, because he said, men shall call you the ministers of our God. He'll call you the priests of our Lord. So there's anointing with ministers, some true ministers. You know, not all ministers are like those things I said before. There are some real men and women of God that do the right thing by the Holy Spirit. There's anointing with them that can help. There's anointing in this room today to help. You know, but that anointing is with you too, and you can help yourself. You know, by the grace of God. But if you need a little boost, you know, then you come into rooms such as this to help build you up. Because that's really what the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, the pastors, the evangelists, that's what they're supposed to be doing. You know, it's building up the body of Christ. Now, here's some point blank. Remember that our, I'm going to read through this very quickly. Remember that our, this series was based on Isaiah 58 verse 6. But here are some point blank scriptures that God gives about deliverance. Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27. Deliverance from every yoke. That's, you know, these next few verses, that's where I'm going with it. And we are going to, after we read all these verses, then we are going to pray. Because, you know, there are some yokes that I have talked about. I didn't write any of these things down. The Holy Spirit just brought them as I was speaking. You know, but there are numerous kinds of yokes, whether we've spoken about it or not. You know, you get the point. God wants to deliver us from them all. Isaiah 10 and verse 27, you know, will tell you, shall come to pass in that day that the Assyrian, he's talking about the Assyrian and, you know, all these things and the devil, you know, he said, be not afraid of the Assyrian. Thus saith the Lord in verse 24, O my people that dwellest in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian. That's right. So let's talk about this Assyrian, which is like the burden, I mean, the taskmaster that put burden on people. Verse 27, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke shall be broken from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The carpenter's anointing, ladies and gentlemen, is here today, and I'm getting into the serious part of this thing. We're going to do this thing right now. Isaiah chapter 14, let's read from verses 24 to about 27. Praise the Lord. Now we're going to break these yokes now. You know, the Lord said, says, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, hallelujah, so it shall come to pass, and as I have purposed, so it shall stand, that I will break the Assyrian. Now the Assyrian represents, you know, the tormenting spirit, the oppressing spirit, the pharaohs and all of these things, the devil. I will break the Assyrian in my land, you know, and even religious systems that put you under bondage. And I will break them upon my mountains, so tread him underfoot. Then his yoke shall depart from off them, and his burden shall depart from their shoulders. So this is the anointing of God that is set up to set people free. This is the purpose that is proposed upon the whole earth. This is the hand of the Lord that stretched out upon nations. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, for the Lord of hosts has purposed it, and who shall disannul it? His hand is stretched out to set his people free from the yoke of the devil, and who shall turn it back? Powerful scriptures. I hope you are taking note of these things. Then I go on to Psalm 89, verse 22. We read it the other day. The enemy shall not exact upon you. And the son of unrighteousness shall not afflict you or put any yoke upon your head. No, not anymore. Hallelujah. Isaiah 54 and verse 11. You know, we're talking about, you know, these yokes. The Lord is set now to deliver us from these yokes. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 54, verse 11. O thou afflicted, tossed with the tempest and not comforted. Well, O thou that are in bondage, afflicted and yoked, you know, with heavy yokes and heavy burdens. The word of the Lord says, I will, you know, make things fair and beautiful for you. Turn the situation around. Change your story. Hallelujah. The Lord is fixing to change your story. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And he even promises that your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children, and in righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, but thou shalt not fear, and from terror, and it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. So that's Isaiah chapter 54. You can read it from verses 11 to 15. Praise the Lord. Here's another good one for us. You know, in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, the Lord talked about healing that he brings to us. You know, that's, you know, sicknesses, diseases, and things like that make you run from pillar to post. You know, just like Jesus was saying to that woman, ought not this woman thou art loosed from thy infirmity? She was running from pillar to post for 18 years. You know, these sicknesses are yokes. She was bent over. She couldn't even, stand up straight. We covered that yesterday. The woman also that tried to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. You know, Bible said that for 12 years she had this issue of blood and she spent all her living on doctors and was nothing improved, you know, and that was a yoke. Well, Exodus 15 and 26 says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. That's right. I will heal you and I will deliver you from all these yokes. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 15 tells you the same thing. The Lord even goes further to assure you that he will take all sickness from the midst of you. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness. And will not put upon you any of these diseases, which thou knowest, you know, which you've seen in Egypt and everywhere else. But the Lord said, those will be laid upon your enemies, but not upon you. Hallelujah. No sickness in the midst of thee. That means among the brethren. And that also means inside your body. Praise the Lord. So, these are promises that God has given us. And I love this Leviticus 26 and 13. I quoted it several times throughout this series. And I want to quote it again for us today. Because this is what the Lord wants for us. You know, when you are set free, he doesn't want you to go under bondage again. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt. Or you can say, I'm the Lord your God, I set you free. You know, that you should not be the bondman. You know, be not the yoked under, you know, the yokes of these people. You know, and I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. Before, they were bent over. They couldn't go upright. But now the Lord says, I'll make you go, you know, upright. But you have to listen to the Lord. Because if you hearken not unto me, and you do not all these things that I tell you, and you despise my statutes and so on, and if your soul abhor my words and do not my commandments, you know, then, you know, evil will come unto you. But as long as you are walking in the light, you can enjoy the promises of God. Praise the Lord. Well, let's close with Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Jesus is saying that, look, you know, you have a choice of which yoke is going to be on your neck. You can take the yoke of the devil. You can take the yoke of these religious systems. You can take the yoke of burden of sin and darkness and so forth. Or you can take my yoke, Jesus said. So come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. When you are yoked unto the Lord, you obey the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, and you do. End of story. Jesus said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. There is no negotiation about it. He says, we do. That's it. You know. So that means you are yoked to the Lord. What he says is what we do. His will is our command. We just do it. And his commandments are not burdensome. They are not grievous. He said it himself. You know, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, and he says, look, learn of me. You know, and find out that my own yoke is different from these yokes of the world. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Learn of me, you know, and take my yoke upon you. For I am meek, you know, and I am lowly in heart. You shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy. His yoke is not like these other yokes that we're talking about. And my burden is light. But you're going to have, it's a choice. There is nobody in this world that can go without a yoke and some burden. You're either yoked under all the yokes, the tormenting spirits that we've been dealing with these last 4 days, or you are yoked with the Lord. It's one way or the other. Jesus has a yoke too, but his yoke is not the kind, you know, that afflicts you. His yoke is the one that's designed to keep you from evil. That's right. You know, when you are joined to the Lord, you are one spirit with him, and he will keep you from the evil. Jesus prayed that prayer for us. Father, I pray not that you take them from the world, but that you keep them from the evil. And his burden is light, because his commandments are not grievous. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's day 6 of our convocation week. And it's actually the 4th day on this series that we dealt with Isaiah 58 and verse 6. When you fast, he said, these are the things that you should do. You know, break the bands of wickedness. You know, undo the heavy burdens. Set the oppressed free and break every yoke. I'm going to be praying a prayer now to break every yoke. I've given you kind of like a teaching lesson. So went into many directions and brought many scriptures to cover all of that. But now I am going to pray. Now, this is the prayer that is going to seal all that we've been talking about the last 4 days and break every yoke. That's right. The yokes of sin, the yoke of darkness, the yoke that make us go left or right from the word of God, the yokes of sickness, the yokes of disease, heavy burdens that the devil put upon us, making us to work many jobs and still put money in a bag of hoe, the yokes of confusion. You know, Jesus said, if you walk with me, you will not be in confusion. You will not walk in darkness. Many yokes. We need to break them now. Now, are you ready? We're going to pray.